The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If God has promised never to leave us or forsake us, why do we ask God to be with us? Don't we believe His promise? There's a great discussion about this straight ahead, so stay tuned. Thank you for joining us, friend, for Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're located in North Texas, and our website is located at faithalone.org. Our annual national conference is coming up, and we want you to be there with us. It's May 19th through the 22nd, and it's at a beautiful Christian camp, Camp Copus, in North Texas. Plan to be with us. Find out more about registration details at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
Well, David, I think we have another question from Charles, and it's an interesting one. What is he asking? And it's in your neck of the woods, by the way. It's pretty much an Old Testament question, right?
There are things that are related in the Old Testament to what he's saying, but also to the New Testament.
Because you were an Old Testament major at Dallas Seminary.
You have to have a screw loose to be a Hebrew major.
I know, right? Didn't you even take, what, Ugaritic or Ugaritic? Is that how it's pronounced?
Well, being a Texan, I pronounce it Ugaritic.
Yeah.
But my professor, Eugene Merrill, said it's Ugaritic.
Ugaritic. So, and you were like the only master student in there. All the rest were PhD students.
It was one of the very few courses that were open to master's degree people.
Wow.
And I just said, I want to see if I can do doctoral level work. So it was just kind of a weird thing that I did.
That's good.
But I'm very glad I did it because I had Dr. Merrill for a professor, one of the most gracious people I've ever met.
And he's a friend of yours.
I got to renew my friendship with him a few years ago, and we've been friends ever since. And I treasure every moment with him.
That's great. That's great. So what's Charles' question here?
Charles' question is essentially, why do we ask the Lord to be with us when He already is?
Okay, so as believers, we know that the Holy Spirit resides in us.
Therefore, He is with us already.
Always.
Always.
Right?
24/7.
Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Yes.
And by the way, Sharon's aunt and uncle were the Lowe's, L-O-W-E, and that was their life verse. "Lo, I am with you always." If my name was Lowe, that would be my Lowe.
Well, it especially applies to the Lowe's.
Yeah, exactly. But Jesus is always with us because His Spirit is in us. But then the question is, what does it mean in the Old Testament? Aren't there lots of examples in the Old Testament where the psalmist or other people will ask God to be with them and they don't mean in them, they mean something else?
Well, it can be of a wide variety of things. It could be like David, you know, in some of the Psalms, you know, he's asking the Lord, deliver me from death. There's people surrounding me with bows and arrows and spears. Deliver me. Be with me.
Yes.
Is the implication. And we know that because he was a man after God's own heart, that God was already with him.
Right.
But he was asking for him to be there.
Yeah, and you talked about acknowledgement and thanksgiving. How do those tie in with me?
Well, one of the worship words, there's a lot of them, especially in the Psalms, but it's used other places. But there are words concerning worship, and one of them is normally translated thanksgiving. And the word really, it comes from the Hebrew verb to know.
Ah.
And so the question is, what's thanksgiving got to do with knowing? And the idea here is acknowledgement. And I think that is a major worship word, acknowledging, number one, God's work that He's already done in our lives, but also acknowledging that He is with us. So when I ask, Lord, be with me, I can still consciously know that He's with me. I'm just, through my little desire, my question, Lord, can you be with me? You know, I'm doing that, acknowledging that He is.
Well, okay, here's another example of the same thing. When we say, Lord, hear me, the psalmist says that a lot. Hear me, hear my prayers,
exactly.
Hear my supplications.
Right.
Well, he knows God's omniscient. He knows God knows everything. But by hear me, he doesn't literally mean hear me. He means be attentive to my prayer.
Exactly.
And when he says be with me, he doesn't literally mean with me. He means be with me in this trial where the people are with the spears and they're trying to kill me.
Right.
Enter in here with me.
Well, it's almost the implication there also is act on my behalf.
Right.
You know, be with me. In other words, these people surrounding me, can you get rid of them?
Yeah.
That were therefore you would preserve my life.
Right.
Doing that. I think there's a lot of implications going on there. But I don't see a thing wrong with saying, even though I already know doctrinally and in my mind and in my heart that the Lord is with me, Lord, be with me in this thing. In other words, I may need special knowledge or a special insight as to how to deal with a certain issue.
You know that, have you ever seen they have a little plaque thing that shows some footprints in the sand. Have you ever seen that
one?
Oh,
yeah.
And they show two sets of tracks, and then there's one set of tracks.
Right.
And the person says that sees the one set of tracks, why did the Lord leave this person? And the answer is, the Lord didn't leave him. He picked him up.
Exactly.
And he carried him. Right?
That's right.
And so when we're going through hard times, the Lord often intervenes. But our request for him to intervene is an important part of the process.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
I think also what's going on, and I get this from the Psalms also, is when we go through those hard times, we lose perspective. We forget, you know, what we normally believe. Or if we're going through really difficult times, it does, on the emotional side of things, that the Lord is not with us. So that may cause somebody to say, Lord, be with me. But it's, in that case, it's a loss of perspective.
You need a reality check.
Yeah. I mean, I love Psalm 73 in the Asaph, the writer of that psalm. His problem, I won't go into all that, his whole sermon, and we don't have time for my sermon. I'm a little wordy sometimes. essentially, what Asaph's problem was is he lost perspective as to who God was and how he worked. And once he found it, he says, now I know what's going on. And what I love toward the end of the psalm in Psalm 73, he says, you know, that the nearness of God is my good.
Wow.
And there's nothing else on heaven I want nor on the earth. You know, that toward the end of that psalm, talk about Bible verses that ought to be memorized.
Yes.
You know, far from you, there's nothing else on the earth that I long for.
Wow.
It's for your presence. And he does that in, you know, on the earth and in heaven, you know, I mean, everywhere, no matter where Asaph was, the nearness of God was his good.
And you're saying Asaph was talking in Psalm 73 about perspective, having the right view of life.
And what's going on in his life, what he saw, just to summarize it, what he was seeing in the culture that he lived in did not jive with the teachings of the Old Testament.
Gotcha.
And he was going, now, what in the world is happening here? You know, is God not able to do it? In other words, he lost his perspective. And then I get the idea that he went into the temple or into the tabernacle because he was essentially David's choir director.
Yeah.
And he got his perspective because, you know, in the middle of the psalm, he goes, now I know they're in these evil people that seem to be successful and the Lord's allowing them. Now I know.
Okay, that's so good. Wouldn't you say, I mean, this is my thinking anyway, that the key to the Christian life, and this would have been true to the key to the believing life during the law of Moses, during the time of Asaph and King David, the key is mindset.
Right.
I mean, Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world. Okay, how do I not be conformed to this world? By being transformed by the renewing of your mind. God changes my mind, my, using your word, perspective.
Right.
Same thing in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed
by
the work of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, that passage, 2 Corinthians 3:18, alludes to an Old Testament text where we're told that when Moses would go into the tabernacle and meet with the Lord, his face would shine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took to wearing a veil because he didn't want people to seeing the decreasing brightness of his countenance.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, no, we don't have a veil over our face when we come before the Lord. But when we come before the Lord, it's through the medium of his word.
Right.
And so as his word impacts our thinking, well, then that changes our behavior. And by the way, that's why free grace theology is so important. If you have a flawed view of assurance of salvation, it corrupts your mind.
Right.
If you somehow think, okay, I'll stay saved if I'm faithful, well, then you're working your way toward heaven, and that's not a God-pleasing attitude.
You think that might be affect your perspective on things?
Just a skosh.
No, in Texas, it's scooch.
Oh, scooch. I thought scooch is what you do when you move along on your butt. You're scooching along.
That's that California coming out of you.
See, I was born in Los Angeles? I was born at the Good Samaritan Hospital, of all places, in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's the city of the angels, yeah. But in any regard, I think that Charles's question is a good one.
Yeah.
Why do we ask God to be with us when he's already with us? Because it's a matter of perspective.
It's a matter of perspective, and it's also kind of if I ask him to be with me, I'm essentially acknowledging and reminding myself that he is with me.
Right.
It sounds like a weird way to do it, but we have how many biblical examples of God's people asking for his presence with
right.
them?
Right, and that what they're asking is for him to intervene.
Right, in many, many cases, you're right.
And so it's appropriate for us to ask God to be with us as long as we're not thinking somehow that I lost my salvation, I lost everlasting life, come back. That
right.
would be wrong. That
right.
would be displeasing to God.
Yeah, I want chapter and verse on that.
Exactly. But if what we mean is, God be with me in this circumstance, in this trial, in this difficulty, we've got plenty of biblical evidence for
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Well, good question, Charles. And let's keep studying the scriptures. Let's keep meditating on it as we keep
grace
in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On our next episode, when did the church begin? Was it in Acts 2 or Matthew 16? That's next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.